We have worked real hard over this past year to make sure this was a good transition. And we've done everything we know to put Jay in a place where he could hit it and hit it running, so there would be very little, if any, loss of energy, focus, direction between my last Sunday here today as senior pastor and Jay's first Sunday next week when he starts talking about vision and all of that, which always happens in October. That's why he's starting October. And so we have done some things internally. You're going to hear more about some of this. But my last thing was, I sat down and wrote some of you and told you it's time for you to move on. You don't tithe. You don't give. You don't lead. You don't serve. As far as I can tell, the only thing you do is take up space in the parking lot. I want Jay to have the best chance he has of success, and dragging that much dead weight won't help. Now you're looking at your neighbor going, "Did he really do that?" Surely he didn't. No, I didn't. But here's my question. If I had, would you have gotten a letter? If I had written that letter, would you have gotten one? Time was running out for Paul, and he knew it. There is a sense of desperation to 2 Timothy. We're going to pick up reading in verse 1 of chapter 4. Stand with me in honor of God's word. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead because of his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. As for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let's pray together. Paul didn't need a watch to know what time it was. He did not need a weather prediction to know how the seasons were changing. He could see it. He knew it. And so as he encouraged Timothy, may his words be an encouragement to us who live in this time when people have turned away from sound doctrine. And we pray this in your name. Amen. We wanted this to be a day when we celebrated the past, and from that celebration looked forward in anticipation of a future. Most of the time in a setting like this, the pastor who is in my position will spend most of the time talking to the incoming pastor. I have spent 22 years talking to Jay. Everything from, yeah, you're preaching two or three Sundays in a row. That's different. Everybody's got one sermon. See how you do next week and the week after that. Let's see how it is when you've had one of those weeks. And you know, when you show up on Sunday morning, you don't care what kind of week I've had. I could have had 9 or 10 funerals. You don't care. You're thinking, I dressed, I shaved, do something. Though I have tried to explain to Jay the realities of what it is to leading a church. And I am confident as I pass that baton to him that he's ready. I want to use the time I have to talk to you. The church. The work of the kingdom wasn't given to one man. At the resurrection, before the ascension, Jesus called his church. He didn't say, Peter, you go do this. He didn't say, John, you go do this. He gave the mission to the church. That's you. I love Jay Strother. You know that. I believe in Jay Strother. You know that. But he is one man. There's no way he's going to be able to meet all of the challenges, respond to all the opportunities. That's you. Every one of you is gifted. Every one of you has a story. Every one of you is placed in a unique place where the last person they would listen to is a Baptist preacher. Oh, come on. I played golf in your foursomes. I know how it is. About the third hole, you start playing, what do you do for a living? There's an engineer, there's a lawyer, there's a banker, and they'll turn to me, Mike, what do you do? What do you think I do? I don't know, he's a salesman, I don't know. I'm the pastor at Brentwood Baptist Church, and they've already had a couple of bad shots. It ruins their game. Then they're just so tight trying not to, and they're worried about what they're going to say, whether what they're going to hit the ball, so. But you know, like I know, there are places the Baptist preacher cannot go. That's why you're there. And what frustrates me now more than anything else is this is the time when the church ought to be at its best in evangelism, because the world, our country, is asking questions only Jesus can answer. Young adults are asking, who am I? That's a Jesus question. They want to know why they're here. That's a Jesus question. They want to know their purpose. That's a Jesus question. So why is it when you're there in those conversations and people ask the Jesus question, you don't say something? Because we are in a time when people have turned away from sound doctrine. We are in a time when people don't want to hear the truth. And yet you and I know the only antidote to what makes this country so sick right now. The only antidote is Jesus. Amen. Now, this is a different time. This is a different challenge. I know that. It's going to require different skills. I know that. And you know, in the 45, 47 years I've been doing this, I have never had a pastor. I've always been the pastor. So for the first time in my life, I want to introduce you to my pastor, Jay Strother. Senior pastor, Brentwood Baptist Church. Jay? Two years ago, Jay, Bill Wilson placed this symbol of a baton in my hand. Talking to a friend of ours, Eric Hillner, who ran track, he said, do you know about this? I said, well, no. I don't think I know as a preacher. I was not fast enough to run track. And he said, let me tell you about this. He said, one, As a track team, we spent all of our time working on the handoff, the baton pass. And we would actually pick slower runners who could effectively pass the baton, because sometimes a fast runner couldn't do it, and that's who they would take. The baton pass is crucial. And we have worked hard to make sure that we inspire and release you to the best days ever. And so we want to make a good... The other thing is, he told me, he said, you know when you hand a baton off, he said, you know what your job is? I said, no. He said, you run in the lane as far as you can, telling the runner ahead of you to go, go, go. So Jay Strother, go, go, go. Huh?
Praise God. And I know it looks light, but this thing weighs a ton. Who in their right mind steps into shoes that big? Who in their right mind takes their place in that unbroken chain, the title of the sermon, knowing what the world needs, knowing the weight, the gospel, the responsibility of bearing God's word, handling it well and rightly, leading you as a church. Aren't you grateful that God called Bill Wilson? I have with me today an important symbol of Bill's ministry, his travel Bible, the one that he would use to go house to house visiting people in this community as he built this church, the one that he would use when he visited the hospitals. I'm standing on the word of God. Many of you will know that we bury a Bible in the platform so that whoever, whatever man is preaching God's word is literally standing on the authority of the word of God. And I got to be here with Mike last August when we replaced the Bible as we did the renovations in this worship center. I'm so grateful that I've had faithful examples, and I'm so grateful for you as a church family that's been so supportive of our ministry for the last 22 years. We moved our little family to Middle Tennessee 22 years ago this week. Had no idea this moment was coming, but God did. And he's used you, he's used Mike, he's used everyone to help shape and prepare us for this moment. But the most important thing I can do in this moment is not just point to Mike's great example or Bill's great leadership or to what a great church this is. The greatest thing that I can do in this moment is to lean into these words, these timeless words that Paul delivered to his protege, to Timothy, to ask you to pray for me, that just as Mike has been faithful for over 45 years of ministry, 32 to this congregation, to ask you to pray for me that I would be found faithful to preach the word, because that's what we all need. And so as we look at this text, As we look at this text that Mike has teed up for us, for 32 years, Mike has been faithful, and I pray that you will find me faithful to, number one, preach the word. Listen to the intensity of Paul's words, knowing that he's coming to the end of his race. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing and his kingdom, there's urgency. And as we will start talking about next Sunday, there's an urgency to our mission to get the gospel of Jesus to people who desperately need it. My job is not to point to us or to point to our church. Our job collectively is to point to the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes life. The gospel is this: that a just and gracious Creator God looked upon you and me, looked upon all of us hopelessly sinful men and women. And God himself stepped out of heaven and into history in the incarnation, in the person of Jesus. He lived a perfect life. He taught us the truth that we needed. But he died a substitutionary death on the cross. And he showed his power over sin and death in the resurrection so that every man, woman, boy, and girl who turns from themselves to Jesus as Savior can be reconciled to God forever. That's the message that we need. That's the message that we live to proclaim. That's the message that we need to get out in word and deed. And we're going to be a church that's gospel first and always. Because what people need is the life-giving word of God. Paul gives no less than 5 imperatives in verse 2. Preach the word. Preach faithfully. A couple of years ago, I came across an ad for a seminary in a preaching magazine. And yes, we preachers are big enough nerds that there's a thing called Preaching Magazine. The ad said this: this week, your people will see 1,754 ads promising them lasting happiness. Buy this product. Buy this car. Go on this trip. Live this lifestyle. All of those things, a false gospel promising happiness. The ad went on to say, you've got 30 minutes in a Bible. What are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with it. The same thing Mike Glenn did with it. The same thing Bill Wilson did with it. I'm going to preach the word. Because what you need is not the opinions of man. What you need is not regurgitated social media feeds. What you need is the truth of the living God. A spirit that will bring his church alive when we listen to and obey those words. Preach the word faithfully. Mike did that. Pray that I will. Preach it consistently. Be ready in season and out of season. Let me tell you what Mike taught me right away. That means Sunday comes around every 3 days. It's the day before Sunday, it's Sunday, it's the day after Sunday, and then you get to do it all over again. As Mike told you earlier, one of his gifts was to allow me time in this pulpit. Do you know what an influential church this is? Do you know the kind of people that Mike could have come in and preach here in Nashville, Tennessee, denominational leaders, famous authors, speakers? But Mike picked guys like me and Aaron to get to come and stand in this pulpit. Why? Because he wanted to develop and train us. And the only way you get better at preaching is by preaching. And so sometimes he would give me 2 or 3 in a row. It might have fallen on a few holidays, you know? But hey, when you're a young guy, you are grateful to get your shot at the basket. And so I would take those. And especially on those first few Sundays where I had a back-to-back, as Mike said, you're a young guy in seminary and you think, I've got all this material to preach. And then you preach it all one Sunday. You wake up Monday morning and you're like, I got to write another sermon this week. I gave him all my good stories last week. Here we go again. And you learn in season and out of season to be consistent, to be faithful, to let the word do the work. Isaiah 55:11. My word will not return void, the Lord says, but it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it out. And so it's always humbling as a pastor because you have these moments in your study and you craft a passage that you think, man, a sentence, this is going to get him. And you deliver it with everything you have. And you guys sit there like Nashvillians at a concert and go, but then it's always after the service. In the welcome center, over coffee, you send an email. Something maybe you didn't even plan on saying, but you delivered it. The Holy Spirit used it and intersected your life. You'll come and say to me or Mike, man, God used this to change my life. He used it to open my eyes. He used it to give me that aha moment I needed. And you think to yourself, I didn't even say that. But it's exactly what you needed to hear from God's word. See, it reminds us it's not about us. Our job is to be faithful to preach the word in season and out of season. It means when you have a good week or a bad week. It means when the kids are sick or the kids are well. It means at all times we preach and we trust the word of God to do its work. We preach faithfully, consistently. We preach pastorally. Did you hear what Paul told Timothy? Use the word to rebuke. Sometimes we need to be rebuked, don't we? We need the word of God to shake us out of our slumber, to awaken us to attention. We need the word of God to rebuke us, to correct us, and to encourage us. You see, one of my favorite Mike Glenn quotes is this. There's a difference between standing up and delivering a message and preaching to a congregation that you know and love. As I continue to get to know and love you as I have for the past 22 years, that's going to be ringing in my ears because Mike's right. This isn't just a speech that I get up and deliver. This isn't some kind of a show where I'm here to entertain you. Instead, this is God's word delivered to God's people. And I will always remember Mike saying, there's a difference between just getting up and making a speech, right? And preaching his word to people that you know and love. Also, since I just quoted Mike, I need to let you know how this is going to work from here forward. The first time I quote Mike, I will say, as Mike Glenn always said. The second time I'll say, a guy I used to know would say. The third time I will say, as I've always said. And I will sound amazing, right, doing it. So we good, Mike? That cool with you? All right. Because that's what we do as preachers, right? We just beg, borrow, steal material from other guys, move it around, make it our own. That's kind of what we do. We're not original. Why? Because we're not supposed to be original. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And so it's God's word that we want to preach consistently, and we need to preach it patiently as well. I love that Paul tells Timothy, have great patience. Why? Because God's word takes a while to work in our hearts and in our lives. We need to be taught the same lessons over and over again. There's a reason there's so many agricultural metaphors that Jesus used. Remember the parable of the soils? Our job as communicators is to spread the seed, but your job every week when you walk in is to be sure that your heart is good soil, ready to receive the word. There's my part, and I promise I will labor in the word early in the morning, late at night. I stay up as a preacher, praying and thinking about how will God's people best receive this word. But you have a responsibility as well. To get to bed on Saturday night, to get here early on Sunday morning, to bring your pen and your journal and your notebook or your phone or whatever you keep notes in and lean into the word so that your heart is good soil. With great patience, Paul says, preach the word and teach. One of my friends, a professor at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, says, I don't remember 99% of the meals I've eaten, but they've kept me alive. He says, God uses faithful sermons to nourish his bride. And so, with great patience and with teaching, I pray to teach you. He also says that in this era in which we're in, because of people's rejection of the truth, we have to equip the church to know what we believe, why we believe it, and exactly where in the Bible that comes from. We have to teach our fifth graders what we used to teach college students a generation ago. And we're going to be partners in that, equipping the next generation to know God's word, to know what they believe and where they stand. So much practical wisdom that Paul is pouring into Timothy in the 11th hour of his ministry. And he goes on to say, why? Because of the times. Mike's already spoken about it this morning, but lean into these words. Does this sound familiar to you? For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will multiply teachers for themselves. Because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. As we as a church are focused on multiplying disciples, do you realize that the enemy is multiplying his as well? And we better get busy. Because there's a battle to be fought. There is a war that's taking place. The good news is that in the cross, of course, we know who the victor is. It is Christ Jesus. He's already won the war. Yet we have to fight from that victory for this generation, for our neighborhoods, for our communities, for our nation, for getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have to do that standing on the authority and the truth of God's word. And Paul reminds Timothy of the daily challenge. Mike will tell you that a lot of preachers want to quit on Monday morning. And this is a Monday morning verse to live by. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. It means stay level-headed. Ministry is a weird beast. I can preach a sermon and I'll get an email. I hated what you had to share. I'll get the next email. It changed my life. That's why my job is to simply be faithful in preaching the word, in season and out of season. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, always share the gospel, fulfill your ministry. Aren't you grateful that Mike has fulfilled this chapter in his ministry well? Aren't you grateful that Bill Wilson did it before him? It is not lost on me what a gift I am being given. A healthy church, healthy ministries, a people who want to lean in and hear the word of God and respond to it. What a gift that is. Last week in my preparation for my final sermon at Station Hill, I shared with the people, I came across a commentary in which the commentator noted out of 100 biographies in the Bible itself, only 30 of those men and women finished well. The odds are against us because we have an enemy who's real. But here's the good news. When we follow God's word, when we stick close to it, when we trust the work of the Holy Spirit, and we have faithful examples in men who have gone before us, God shows us the way. And so as Mike closes one chapter and starts another, I'm grateful because I believe Mike can say that he fought the good fight, finished the race, the course that God had for him as senior pastor of Brentwood Baptist Church. He's beginning a new one as executive director of the Engage Church Network, and it's going to be fun to watch Mike work with pastors and be able to consult them and pour into them the way that he has into me and our other staff over the years. But most importantly, Mike has kept the faith. And so Brentwood Baptist Church, as we come to this moment, the greatest thing that I could ask is for you to pray for me. Pray that I will preach the word faithfully. Pray that I'll embrace sound doctrine. Pray that I will consistently live out Christ-like character. Would you do that, church family? Would you pray for your pastor? And feeling those prayers, I can't wait to see what God is going to do in the days ahead. So I can't let him off the hook this easy. I need somebody to pray that first prayer over me. So I'm going to ask the executive director of the Engage Church Network to come and pray over me this morning.
I knew this day would come, but I will confess it came faster than I thought it would. But I stand here celebrating the past. That has been a remarkable, remarkable run. And I am grateful for every day of it. But we're not here for a funeral. This story isn't over.
That's right.
So we stand before you celebrating the past, and from that, we are now confident of the future. Brentwood Baptist days, best days are ahead. And we pray, one, you would protect Jay, protect his family. Don't let anything distract him from the mission and ministry that you've called him to do. That his mind will be clear and his heart pure, so there'll be nothing diffracting the word as it flows through him to us. So we now pray, Father, that this will be a day when all of God's people look back and say, that was the day when things changed at Brentwood Baptist Church. And into your hands and into your heart, we place this man. and his leadership. And we pray this in your name. Amen.